Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning. We missed last week because we were not feeling well, and Friday I text Mose and I wasn't sure if I was going to be here today or not, but I'm thankful to be feeling well. So we've been going through the book of Proverbs, and turn to Proverbs chapter 26. The verses I have are Proverbs 26. Verses 17 through 21. Proverbs 26, verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceives his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? Am not I in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Proverbs is a book well named for, it's full of comparisons and illustrations, and these verses are no exception to that rule. We're going to look at verse 17 first, and then 18 and 19 sort of go together, and 20 and 21. Over the past several weeks, I've been thinking about these verses and rereading them and going through them. My mind keeps coming back to the hound dog in verse 17, and I figured we'll take care of the dog and then go from there. Verse 17 said, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. I think to understand the seriousness or the real reality behind these words, we have to realize that the dog that it's speaking of here is not the pet that we pet and it'll let us almost do anything to it. The dog in Proverbs is basically a wolf. They didn't have domesticated dogs. I think they would have had some hunting packs, but there was not domesticated dogs that could have you've done anything to. So it gives a picture of a dog or a wolf. Let's just use a wolf so it gives a better idea. But and you've passed by it. It's not something that you've been petting or that you've been playing with. It's something that you've snuck up on in the woods or you've passed by and reached out and grabbed its ears as you went past. I think even the children here would have a good answer if you ask them, is it a good idea to grab the ears of a dog or a wolf and pull it when it doesn't know you're going to do it? Every one of them would say, no, it's a bad idea. So as bad of an idea as we have in the last part of verse 17 in taking a dog by the ears, he's referring that to someone that's passing by and meddling with strife not belonging to him. The Hebrew word meddleth and the word passeth are actually the same word. I thought it was interesting. But it can also be translated as provoking to anger. So someone meddling, passing by, provoking to anger. So you have an individual that passes by two other people that are having an argument or a fight of some sort, and they decide to jump in and fix the problem. I know how I am anyways. When we see a problem, we want to fix it. If it's a car in the shop or if it's your neighbor or whatever it is, when you see a problem, we look at something, we think we're going to fix it and take care of it. But I think if you would go passing by somebody, not knowing a situation or a problem, and decide you're going to take care of this for them, you're going to pretty soon have two people united against you, and they're going to say, this is an A and B conversation. Just see your way out of it. We had a lot of reconciliation talked about over a men's conference, and I don't think this verse is talking about brothers and brothers reconciling and somebody coming up and helping out in a situation like that. I think this is talking specifically about a stranger or passing by strangers, not coming to a brother or a group of brothers that there's something going on and helping out. I think this verse is just practical advice. It's not... It's just don't mess with strangers' arguments or quarrels unless you want the same repercussions that you would have if you would walk by in the woods and sneak up on a wolf and grab its ears. Verse number 18 and 19. Verse 18 says, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. This is the first part of the comparison, and verse 19 finishes it out. But the word madman here can literally be translated insane or rabid or rabid, as like someone with rabies. And in the States here, we don't see people, crazy men or madmen like you do in a lot of other countries. If you would go to Ghana or at different countries, I'm sure Bolivia and different places would have it too. But you go to those countries, those people aren't locked up in institutions or hid from public eye. They're on the streets, walking and throwing sticks, arrows, death. It's not an overstatement. I've seen him walking around, and it reminds me of the man that Jesus met at the tombs. Just crazy. And I wonder how many times many of them are just demon-possessed or possessed by devils. But it paints a pretty serious picture. Someone walking around casting burning sticks, throwing burning sticks. Arrows can be translated as wounds and killing. And out of that dramatic picture, we have in verse 19 what he's comparing it to. And he says, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Or as the Amplified Bible says it, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and then says, was I not joking? I think this verse is a lot more practical. This is not talking about a stranger. It's talking about personal friends and relations. You know, what is a joke? Or it says, am not I in sport? And Amplified says, was I not joking? I guess in my mind, a lot of times I rationalize out a joke and I say, a joke usually is a form of untruth or maybe even a complete lie, but you justify it by correcting it within a couple minutes or within a short time afterwards and say, oh, I was just joking. And a lie is something, anyways, this is the way I would have looked at it, a lie would be something that you don't correct and it's something that you would say or do to someone and not actually fix or not actually say that, oh, that wasn't true. But this gives the picture that that's not a good idea to try to tell somebody the untruth, deceive them, and once they're totally confused and hurt, say, I was just joking. The word sport in Hebrew can be translated mocking, deriding, or laughing. It gives a picture of someone who is getting offended or hurt by a joke, and then the person who did it just thinks it's hilarious. And the word neighbor in this passage can be translated brother, companion, friend, lover, and actually husband was one as well. I think this verse comes closer to home than verse number 17. A lot of times we wouldn't walk past somebody or think we would anyways and get involved in somebody else's arguments or that we don't know especially. This talks about getting involved in joking with our brother, making a joke and making them feel inferior. I think a lot of times it's where we want to get the upper hand of a situation or we want to look smart, and it's pride coming out in my life anyways when I do it, is that you want to be seen as the clever one and as the one in control, and you have to put somebody else down or make fun of some or make a smart comment to make that happen. It's like you're looking out for yourself and making yourself look great while you're looking down at others. Ephesians chapter 5, you can turn there if you want. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 4 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given us for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness and all covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Ephesians tells us that jesting or joking can be translated the same way, that it's not convenient and that should not be once named among the saints. Proverbs says, being a joker and lying and deceiving your neighbor is the same as a crazy person running around, burning, wounding, and killing. I guess for me, this did speak to me, and I want to stop being the person going around and causing wounds or being the crazy man, throwing those jabs just to try to make something funny or make yourself look good. And it's easier to, in a situation or in a conversation, it's easy just to pipe up right at the spur of the moment. And I definitely have a lot to learn in that. Look at verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. An interesting observation in this verse, the word strife in verse 20 can be translated brawling, contention, or discord. And the strife mentioned in 17 and 21 can be translated as more of a contest or a controversy or a lawsuit. Solomon was good at using practical illustrations that we can understand. And here we have a picture of a fire, someone feeding wood on a fire and stopped putting wood on the fire, and then the fire went out. You know, it's amazing to me how many times you could take any of these illustrations, and it doesn't matter what country of the world you're in or where you're at. Everyone understands a wolf or a dog getting its ears yanked. Everyone understands a fire that you don't put wood on that is going to go out. And the second part of this verse says, so, or just like the fire going out for lack of wood, so where there's no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. A talebearer can be translated whisper. It's the same as someone going around, you know, reviving rumors, trying to bring up mistakes of other people. And, you know, if somebody does something foolish, all it takes is one person to go around, and you can soon have the whole neighborhood talking about something that happened. It's a picture of gossip. The NIV actually reads, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. The more people talk, and the more it gets passed around, the bigger the fire grows, and the more damage is done to the person, to their reputation and their testimony. And I know I've done things, and we all do things sometimes that you just really, I mean, it wasn't smart. It was a bad choice or a bad decision in the situation. You'd really not have it the talk of the town. But I think this verse also insinuates that the person that's getting gossiped about may start arguing or trying to fight to correct the gossip. It says the strife ceaseth. So it gives a picture of a man that's been talked about or a quarrel that's going on because of someone going around keeping these rumors going. And when people quit talking, the fighting stops and the strife ceases. Verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. It's somewhat similar to verse 20. We also have the wood with fire, but he adds the illustration of coals to burning coals. And when you have a fire that's been burning and it goes out, a lot of times around the edges you have coals, you have little pieces of wood that are basically charcoal or that are basically partly burned and have gone out. If you take those and put them on a burning bed of coals or fire, they'll be in the flame very quickly again, and even a lot quicker than if you put a dry or cold wood on a fire. The word contentious here actually is also the exact same word as the word strife. You have a contentious man, someone that's striving, someone that is brawling, sowing discord. But anyways, those two words are the same word. We had a salesman that always came to the shop every couple weeks or month, and he was a contentious person. Every time he came, he brought up, if I didn't talk to him every time because I kind of got a little tired of it, but he would always bring up something that somebody did to him or something that happened, and he would always say, I'm going to sue him. He said, I'm going to sue him. And he was trying to get something for nothing. He was trying to sue every possible person that he could get his hands on. And if you would give another idea, he would get angry or get upset real quick. And I know once he would always send us something. He would sneak in and out. We wouldn't see him a lot of times. We all of a sudden we'd get $100, $200 of stuff in the mail. And we sometimes needed it, sometimes weren't that low. But my dad called him in the office and told him one time, I want to know what we're getting. You know, I don't want to just have somebody sneaking in and out. And the man was contentious. He just got upset and he just gave Dad a piece of his mind right there and didn't come too much after that. But I think this also comes back to our self-esteem or our ego, our self-importance, being on top, trying to make it show like we rule in every situation, even if it means just suing to the max just because someone put a little dent in your car. A contentious man is never happy. If things are going his way, he's anxious. They may change out of his favor. And so he contends and tries to keep the coals and keep heaping coals to the already burning coals and making the fire hot. I think we all have been around contentious people, and it's not a pleasant thing. It's not a peaceful type of atmosphere. I think we are called to be the people that stops feeding the fire and stops putting the coals on those burning coals and making it more strife. But rather, I think we should be the peacemakers that Jesus talked about in Matthew 5 that says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." The song that we sang, number 928, says, "Prince of Peace, control my will. Bid the struggling heart be still. Bid my fears and doubting cease. Hush my spirit into peace. Thou hast bought me with thy blood, opened wide the gate to God. Peace I ask, but peace must be, Lord, in being one with thee." And I just thought the way we can be a peacemaker is if we follow the Lord in being a peacemaker and following his direction and plan for us. The verses in Romans 14, verse 19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." That's all I have. Lord bless you.